Well, it's a pleasure to teach God's word, and I'm so thankful for you guys here and on the phone lines. And I look forward to us continuing the subject of the fruit of the Spirit called peace. That's our theme this year. And so it's probably going to take all year to get through all of them, especially with this peace one. My goodness, it just goes on and on and on. But that's good. That's a good, peaceful thing. But before we start, I know you got something to say to me. We're going to do our positive affirmation today in English. We don't need to do it in Spanish today. And so if you're ready, go ahead and tell me how you feel about your life. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Very good. Well, we're going to pick up where I left off last month in 1 Peter chapter 3. I taught Romans 2 verse 10 in our last teaching on peace, and I was amazed that I ended up spending the entire teaching on that one verse, but I couldn't get off of it. And by the time we finished, everybody had an action item to go to the throne of God with your needs. And after you went there, then go there again. And after you thought you'd done it all, then go back and do it again to really open your heart to God and have Him take care of you. And I trust that you did that. I know I do it. I love doing it. It's every time I run into something that's contrary to the Word, that's not filled with the goodness of God's Word, man, I go right to the throne. And I stay there until I know I've communicated what I need to and what God has communicated what He needs to. Well, 1 Peter chapter 3 is a very interesting chapter on peace. And it starts off with talking to the wives about how they're supposed to act in the marriage and in their personal lives as a wife. And then in verse 7, it talks to the husbands. And then we're going to pick it up in verse 8. And I'll give you a synopsis before I start so that you understand what we're going to be talking about. Evil and love are contrasted in this section, and peace is the focal point. So you'll see evil come up, dealing with evil, ramifications of evil and such. And you'll see love appear. And then we'll talk about peace and how it pulls it all together. And actually, if you were going to write down an action item list, there are a lot of things that are going to come up. And I'll give you a synopsis of that at the end. So if you don't catch them all while we're talking, that's okay. Well, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Verse 9, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Verse 10, for he that will love life, and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. And that's our focus verse. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I trust by now you're seeing the evil thing come up, and we already saw love. Verse 13, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you, a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And then he talks about Christ being the best example to follow. And so that is our section. And I'm going to start back in verse 8 now. And as we repeat some of these things, you'll gain more and more understanding of how evil and love are opposed, and then how peace pulls it all together. In verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. I have to give you a different rendering of that verse, because some of those words aren't even in the text. And it's actually kind of confusing if you don't know that. Finally, be ye all of one mind. Now that's all there. Everybody, we're supposed to do this together. Be all of one mind. Having compassion. Now, having compassion means sympathizing. You ever sympathize with somebody? I have so much sympathy for you. That kind of thing. That's what it means. Sympathizing one with another. Love as brethren. Love as brethren comes from that word. Anybody know the word for brotherly love? Phileo. Philadelphia. Pittsburgh. No, just Philadelphia, not Pittsburgh. The city of brotherly love, right? We're supposed to have brotherly love for each other. That's what that means. Brotherly love. Kind of like you pat my back, I pat yours. I'll help you as much as I can. You help me as much as you can. Brotherly love. Then be pitiful, be courteous. You don't even have to worry about what pitiful means. Okay, because that word shouldn't even be in there. There is a word that should be in there, though, and it's tender-hearted. We're supposed to be tender-hearted with each other. And for the courteous word, it's supposed to be humble-minded. So God is asking us, as one body, one mind, to be tender-hearted and humble-minded with each other. And that means that we're not afraid to humble ourselves to each other. That's pretty cool, I think. I actually like that. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. It's kind of a neat verse. A lot of stuff in there, though. So let's just break it down. Not rendering evil for evil. You know what render means, don't you? If you render somebody senseless, that means that you probably hurt them. Rendering means you turn something into something, okay? So, not rendering evil for evil. In other words, if somebody's evil to you, now this word evil, as we see it, it just means bad. Any form of bad. And it could be a thousand different things. But it's the Greek word kakos, and it just means things that are bad. So, if somebody's bad to you, don't be bad back. That's what it means. Don't render bad back to somebody because they rendered bad to you. Or railing for railing. And railing is a word we don't use often, but it is a good English word, and it is the right word here. Have you ever heard of somebody railing on somebody? They're letting loose. They're just yelling at them. Just railing on them. It's really more than just yelling. It's not good. It's more intense than that. But if somebody comes and rails on you because maybe they don't like you, or maybe they want to accuse you of something, don't rail back. Pretty simple. Don't render railing for railing. But contrariwise, this is what you're supposed to do. Instead, blessing. We are supposed to bless people. As Christians, that's what we're supposed to do. Especially in these gnarly situations, when somebody's not being nice to you, when somebody's railing on you, What you do in return is you bless them. Is that hard or easy? And sometimes it's pretty tough, but it is possible. And so God says, please do this, knowing that ye are thereunto called. You are a Christian. You've been called to the one body. And believe it or not, I'm not teaching it this time, but you have been called to peace. And if you want to study that, you can probably find that in the Bible. I'd say look for it. But you have been called to peace. And so when we read, knowing that ye are thereunto called, you see how the onus of peace seems to be laying on top of this now? Well, if you're not supposed to fight with people, rail with people, rather bless them, that sounds pretty peaceful to me. Well, that's what it is, that ye should inherit a blessing. Well, if you want to be blessed by God, and he's willing to bless you, bless other people, and you'll just get blessed by God. He'll give you things. Verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. The word refrain means to cease. Let him cease his tongue from evil. Now, what does the word evil mean? Anything bad. Just not good. Not a blessing. Refrain his tongue, cease from evil. So that would be evil speaking. And his lips that they speak no guile. And the word guile means bitterness. No bitterness. God does not want us to be bitter with one another. No guile, no bitterness, no bad. Just good should come out of our mouths. And it's interesting that it's prefaced with, for he that will love life. And the word love is the word agape. Now, we know that agape is not love, but it's a list of behavioral characteristics in 1 Corinthians 13. Be slow to anger, don't be prideful, and all those things, right? So if somebody wants to live their life according to agape, that's what this is talking about. For whoever wants to live according to agape, and to see good days, well, I think that's all of us, then watch what happens with this little mouth. It's a dangerous thing, but be careful with it. Because if you do the wrong thing with your mouth, i.e. evil, bad, bitter, then you're going to have a tough time with good days. But if you want to have good days, then control your tongue. That's what it's talking about. And there's other verses that talk about this too. Have you ever been to James? You can see it in James if you'd ever like to. Verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Who's the him? Who's the him? Well, wouldn't it be the he in verse 10? That's who we're talking about. We've actually picked a person now. We've got subject matter in hand. And we're talking about this guy who wants to live according to agape and see good days. So this guy that wants to be like that, let's eschew evil. Eschew, just force it away. Just force it away. You don't want any evil at all. Just force it away. And do good. Well, I thought he already told us to do good. Well, he did. But apparently, this guy needs a lot of repetition. And he's getting it. Let him seek peace and pursue it, or ensue it. And this is really awesome. This whole thing about seeking, this is where you're relentless. You're relentless. You never stop. You're completely, completely relentless. And it's desperation. It's actually a form of desperation where you desperately seek peace. That means you go to the throne. You pray. you do things that you have to do, whether they're easy or difficult, so that you have it. You're desperate to do it. And it's okay to be desperate for this. You know, maybe we might look at desperation as a sign of weakness in some situations, but not here. This is a good thing to be desperate for. And it's so desperate that it's your only focus. It becomes your primary focus in life. Because peace is what, it's an enabler, and it causes everything else to work. When you don't have peace in your life, it's just a troubling experience. And so God wants us to focus on it and desperately seek it. Why is it so hard? I mean, why did he make it like this? Why can't we just be peaceful, you know? You see these religions, they sit there in their cross-legged positions with their fingers and doing things to just hum in peace and all that. I mean, peace is something that the world wants. But I want to tell you something. The peace that is discussed in the Bible is not world peace. It's not any form of peace that the world can offer. You must understand that when God talks about peace, he's talking about his peace. His peace is supernatural. It's godly. There is no darkness in it. It's not of the world. So it's not the same thing. God wants you to have his peace. But in order for you to have his peace, you have to be willing to, well, let's say, work for it. You've got to be willing to change your life at least enough to where it has an entrance. Because peace is very tender. It's sweet, but it's very tender. And it's very shy. It wants to run at a moment's notice. That's why he says for you to turn away from evil, eschew evil. Just turn aside from it. Because peace gets so embarrassed. It's so shy. It's so coy. And if you really want God's peace in there, the tenderness and the beauty of God's peace to live inside you, there can't be anything else in the way. That's just the nature of it. I'm personifying it, but it really is like that. And you know it's like that. Have you ever wanted to be peaceful when you weren't? And you realize, gosh, when will this end? When will this trouble in my soul go away? Well, anything can disturb peace. Anything. And if you want God's peace in your life, you've got to work for it. You've got to make deliberate decisions to live according to agape, to do good, to control your tongue, to not be bitter. But before all that happens, it has to happen in your mind. And that's where the big challenge is. So it's not easy, but he made it like that because of the very nature of peace. Peace is tender. It's very sweet, but it's very tender. It's very shy. And if you really want peace to join you, then you've got to do your part by getting rid of anything that peace doesn't like. Let it have a place to live, a decent home, and then you'll see what God's peace is all about. And then the word ensue means to pursue, and that means to follow it at all times. So peace is a leader. Peace has to be followed. Peace has to lead. You can't lead your way and expect peace to lead you her way. You actually have to follow. Follow it at all times. So these are guidelines that God has given us. If you really want to see peace in your life, you've got to follow it God's way. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I'm not sure what stands out to you when you read this verse, but I will tell you what stands out to me. It's a word that's pretty much smack dab in the middle of it. Prayers, which is the word for supplications. Supplications are when you pray for things that you need. You just keep praying for it until you get it, over and over and over. Now, Are we not talking about dealing with evil? Are we not talking about learning how to live according to agape and see good days? And are we not talking about peace? And so when you look at this and you go, oh my gosh, prayer's right in the middle of that? That means that when I'm being faced with bad things and I want to have good things, I'm supposed to pray. I go to God in the midst of those things. And so I offer this to you. The next time you're dealing with anything bad, and it could be 1,000 different things, and you want to do good, and it could be 1,000 different things, pray. Go to God and pray, because at that moment in time, you have a very specific supplication, a need for God to help you get through that bad so that you can live good. And that's the nature of the battle. But you've got to have His help. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. God always watches. He always sees you. He knows what you're going through. And His ears are open unto their supplications. We know that we're talking about the He and the Him that's trying to turn aside from evil and seek peace. So we know that God's saying, hey, I'm listening to you. I will help you when you get into these situations when it's difficult to turn aside from evil. And when bad seems to be overwhelming the good, I'm there for you. And here's how much so I'm there for you. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So when evildoers, and you're not an evildoer, and I know you might be trying to squeeze that one in, but you're not the evildoer. The evildoers are the other ones that are causing you problems in your life. The unbelievers, the people that stand against God, okay? And interesting, the face of the Lord is against them. So He's always ready to help you. He will fight your fights for you, but you have to turn to Him. You have to follow His way. And who is He that will harm you? The word harm means injure. Now, who's going to injure you? Now, are we not talking about evil, any form of evil? And are we not talking about good, any form of good? Who's going to injure you if you be followers of that which is good? Which one of these evildoers is going to injure you if you be followers of that which is good? And followers means imitate. So you imitate the good. You just imitate it. You might not understand it. You just imitate it. And sometimes you might even feel like you're acting. But that's okay. Act out good. But if you have to suffer, and that means endure, if you have to go through this for righteousness' sake, and certainly it is because we're born again and we're righteous in God's eyes, happy are you. And be not afraid of their fear. The word terror means fear. Neither be troubled. Now this really gets into acting. Be happy. When you go through things that you don't like, that somebody else is doing to you or against you, be happy. Just get that attitude. Say, I'm going to be happy. How hard is that? Well, it's very hard. It's very hard, but you just have to make a decision. And you have to say, well, I'm going to be happy. Now remember, this is God telling you this stuff. And this is His word. So if you go through this stuff for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their fear. I mean, they're going to try to get you to be afraid. Don't be afraid of their fear. And don't be even troubled. Neither be troubled. So I'm supposed to be happy. I'm not supposed to be afraid. And I'm not supposed to be troubled. Well, I am troubled when that happens. And I do get fear when that happens. And I'm not happy. I don't like it. But that's okay. Work on it. Change your mind. Do something to make yourself happy. It's a deliberate action. No, it's not easy, but it's possible. And then verse 15, I love this verse, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You're always ready. You're always ready to give an answer about God, to give an answer about the hope that's in you. What a great counter to the evil. See, the evil is always trying to defy God's word. But you, as a good, a do-gooder, you are always ready to speak for God. You're always ready to speak His word. And you give it a special place, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they, and let's put the word may in there, it's in the text, that whereas they may speak evil of you as evildoers, so they'll come after you and say bad things about you and try to make you think that you're an evildoer too. Huh. Well, it says then they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good manner of life. Conversation is an old English word. It just means manner of life in Christ. I guarantee you that the end result of any type of dilemma like this is that God will make those people feel quite ashamed and not you. So if you already know that He's going to do that, that's how you can be happy. And you can just look at him and go, I'm sorry, buddy, but you're going to feel very ashamed very shortly. Okay, so you may just keep it up if that's what you'd like. But I'm happy because I have no shame. I love that. Verse 17. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And that again is experience. And so God wants your experiences to be associated with doing good, not associated with doing bad. And so when we read verse 11, let him eschew evil, turn aside from evil, anything bad, and do good. Let him seek peace desperately. The only focus, so focused that that becomes your primary goal in life. And then follow it at all times. Now we understand that it is the solution to dealing with the evil, the bad, and there's a thousand different forms of it. That's how we deal with it. And we know that the person that really wants to do this is the person that really wants to live the agape lifestyle and to have good days. And what I'll do is I'll just run through the summary of those things. We're to sympathize with each other. We're to have brotherly love with each other. We're to be tender-hearted with each other and have a humble mind with each other. We're to stop evil among ourselves if it exists, and we're definitely not supposed to rail on each other. Oh. Rather, we're supposed to bless each other. Just bless each other. Do good things for each other. We're not supposed to have any spoken bitterness. We're supposed to force evil away. We're supposed to do good. We're supposed to seek peace. And then we're supposed to follow after peace. In the midst of evil, God wants us to pray. He's got our back. Avoid injury by imitating good. Be happy if you have to go through these situations. Why? Because you know what God's going to do. Those people are going to end up with a whole lot of shame. Talk about God always. Know that evildoers will be ashamed. And it's okay to endure these things because of good. And lastly, I mentioned it, and we'll get into it next time. You've been called to peace.
All right.
Thank you.